In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, the gospel can be very challenging at times. The gospel calls us to be people that we sometimes feel that we are not. It calls us to act in ways that we are not used to acting. And it challenges us to take a high road that sometimes seems unreachably high. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." This reading we heard from Leviticus is all about giving justice. And it tells us, with justice, you shall judge your neighbor. A part of the problem when we say justice is that we do not always understand justice, what justice means. Our culture, and many cultures, make assumptions about justice that are really inaccurate. And so often, if somebody has been wronged, a loved one may have been killed, or somebody may have been injured by another, you often hear people say, "Well, I want justice." When what they really mean is, "I want revenge." The problem is that revenge is not the same as justice. Revenge is a temporary fix, and ultimately, it leaves us empty. We also think that justice equals fairness. And often it does. Quite often, fairness is just. But that does not always mean that the inverse is correct. Justice, like life, is not always fair. Jesus says, "You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." And then Jesus goes on to say, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you." And this brings us back to what is fair versus what is just. What is fair is to be able to return hatred for hatred. What is fair is to exact evil for evil. But justice does not work that way. Justice is different. Justice sets things right, even if it requires sacrifice and even if it is difficult. And the type of justice that Christ calls us to requires us to put ourselves aside in ways that seem unfair. Why can't we hurt someone the way that we were hurt? Mahatma Gandhi reminds us, paraphrasing Jesus' quote, "An eye for an eye will make the whole world blind." It's kind of like two kids sitting in the back seat of the car and one punches the other and the other punches the sibling back and they go back and forth and back and forth trying to get even for the last punch. Well, eventually they're just going to end up bruised. Justice requires a change in that cycle. I've been very preoccupied watching events in the news this past week. Uprisings around the world in Ukraine, Thailand, and Venezuela. Particularly, I've been concerned with Venezuela, having lived there for a year before going to seminary, and having many friends that are there that I care very much about. And watching places that are experiencing violence and unrest. You can see sides polarizing. You can see people taking sides one way or the other. And when they take sides, it's so easy to see someone else as other and not as the person. But hope is not lost in places of unrest. Even in the worst situations, justice can happen. People learn to live with one another. After the end of apartheid, probably one of the great legacies of Mandela and Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu was the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, where they said, you know, if you just tell the truth, you have amnesty. Let's put aside our differences. Let's learn to live with one another. Or even possibly more horrifically, 20 years ago, next month, is the anniversary of the awful genocide in Rwanda. 800,000 people murdered in 3 months' time. A couple years ago, there was a story in the news that after time has passed, one of the refugees came back to Rwanda and she began a business. And her goal was that she was going to hire women and make sure that these were women who had had bad experiences with one another. And so she hired women who were former neighbors, women who sometimes their husband killed the families of the other women. And she said, you know, you don't have to be friends, but you have to work with each other. But over time, as these women were working with one another, invariably they began to share experiences. And the label of being the other faded away, and they began to see the person who was behind the label. These are two shining examples of God's justice at work. And now here we are in a very different situation, in a relatively stable part of the world. And yet, I think about if it can happen in the worst of cases, in the absolute most horrific times of human history, then justice can happen for us. In our daily lives, justice can happen when we are hurt and when we hurt one another. Now, this is not just a course in civics or how to create a civil society or even just how to be nice to each other. The spiritual message behind this is that no matter what I may think of another person, no matter what another person has done to me, no matter how evil society deems a person to be, I have to remember one thing. I have to remember that that person that has been labeled enemy or evil or heartless or wrong is a person that God loves just as much as God loves me. I have to remember that God wants what is best for that person. I have to remember that God understands that person's pain in ways that I could never understand. Jesus tells us, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So when Jesus asks us to be passive, to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, he's not asking us just to be a doormat. In fact, there are many times when we are required by our faith to speak out against injustice. But Jesus is calling us to remember that the one who wrongs us is also a human being, a beloved child of God. And justice requires us to end the cycle of hatred and forgive. Jesus reminds us, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? I can't help but notice the irony of this phrase. Do not even the tax collectors do the same, coming out of the Gospel of Matthew. Does anybody remember what the profession of the Gospel writer Matthew was? It was a tax collector. I have a feeling when Matthew wrote that down, he was thinking about that. At the same time as writing this down, he was one who knew sin. Tax collectors were hated because they were seen as conspiring with the enemy, the Roman Empire, an occupying force. On top of it, they were seen as corrupt officials of the state who often extorted money. And so what an unlikely person for Christ to choose to follow him. An even more unlikely person to be the one to record the good news of Jesus Christ. There is always hope. Leviticus again reminds us, you shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Even when the world is finished with a person, God is not. And we are broken human beings like all people. And despite that, Jesus says something that is completely audacious. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Very much reflecting God telling us in Leviticus, be holy as I am holy. And it's disheartening. We're not perfect. And in fact, at hearing this, we might even say, well, how dare Jesus say such a thing? Suggesting we should be perfect. But Jesus knows, more than we know even, that we will never truly be perfect as God is. But Jesus also knows that we have it in our hearts to give people second and third and 17th chances. Jesus knows that we can love even after being wounded. At a baptism, we take the baptismal covenant, these series of promises, and I'm always reminded of the second to the last line of the baptismal covenant. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Our primary goal as people who follow Christ is not to strive to pacify our own lust for getting even or one-upping. It is to strive to set things right, to strive for justice and peace. We are not called to respect the dignity of those whom we like or those whom have done right by us. We are called to respect the dignity of every human being, even or especially those in whom we find it most difficult. God's justice is based on making things right And if we are truly to follow God, then we too must strive for this justice. Amen.